don't you sit right back, and I may tell you a tale of three little pigs and a big bad wolf. One day, he bought a guitar. He moved to Hollywood to become a star. But living on the farm, he knew nothing of the city. Built his house out of straw, what a pity. Then one day, jamming on some chords, along came the wolf, knocking on his door. Little pig, let me in.
Pumping, pumping, blow your house in. Pumping, pumping, blow your house in. Travel around a whole lot, friends, and I see all manner of different things all the time. And here the other day, I seen one of them ballets, Swan Lake it is called, and it's pretty, just pretty as it could be. And them women sure can broad jump. And the fine part about it is that the steps that they do have got these French names. And every time they take a step on that stage, it means something. Now, this Swan Lake opens up on this young prince that is having his coming-of-age birthday party. And all the guests come up, and they're doing a step called the pas de trois. And that's where you circle your foot three times and kindly kick up high. And that means there's going to be good times had tonight. and we may be up till three. And while they was a party trying, all these swans come up on the stage. And the princess party tried right over to them and was just before a killing them swans. When all of a sudden, as if by magic, there was one of them, you see, that was wearing a great big gold crown. And that swan turned from a swan into a beautiful young girl. And she was doing a step called the rounds of jamba. And that means I am a girl. And she was, too. And so right off, the prince knowed he was in love of her. And he done a step called the fouette. And that's where you hold one finger up and one hand down and just kindly turn and look. And that means I think you're the prettiest thing I've ever seen and I want to kiss you. And he started to. And the girl, she done a step called the pas-de-deux. And that means take your cotton-picking hands off of my shoulders. As it turned out, all of them swans was really girls. But they had this curse put on them saying they couldn't never be girls again until some young boy would give his life for them. And so when the prince learnt of it, he done a kind of a manly leap that meant, I'll give my life for them. And so this great rain come, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it wasn't no ordinary rain. It was a frog strangler. The water kept coming up, and a coming up, and a coming up, and it got up about chin high, and then they done a step called the soubersault. And that's where you get up on your toes and wave like that, and that means I am drowning. And they did. They did. They all drowned him. The boys and the swans and everybody. But they all come to life again. And that's what makes it such a pretty story. They all come to life again. And the boys, they were still boys. But the swans, they was all pretty girls. And the prince, he married that and that was wearing the gold crown. And the rest of the boys, they took their pick of what was left. And they wound up the ballet doing a step called the Ensemble à la Quatrimer à la Derrière. And that means, friends, that means save your Confederate money, boys. The South's gonna rise again.
Swords flashed, fire, and sat down as the seventh day did end. like the sounds of night and like a monster church bell's peal. The king once more heard the silken sounds of the golden Glockenspiel. The king did hesitate. He crept up to the clearing and he bade them all the way. He peered into the clearing, dimly lit by a flickering light. He leaned upon his golden sword and beheld a wondrous sight. The very fire flickered green, yet it cast the yellow light. And the minstrel
was that one about? You know, that was, well, I always say that that's a song that explains why I never did any drugs. My mind was already reeling, but I'll give it to you a little bit by bit. All right. Madman Drummers, Bummers, and Indians in the Summer. Mad Dog Vincent Lopez, drummer in the E Street Band. He was always getting in shit. And Indians in the Summer. Well, the Indians was my little league team when I was a kid. So, but it was also kind of cowboys and Indians in the woods, but Indians in the summer, the teenage diplomat, well, that's me. All right. In the dumps with mumps, I was diseased. As the adolescent pumps his way into his hat, self-explanatory. with a boulder on my shoulder, I've always felt something big pressing down my whole life. Feeling kind of older, I tripped a merry-go-round. That's where I was living. That was the boardwalk. And with this very unpleasing sneezing and wheezing, Calliope crashed to the ground. That was, I seek chaos and disruption, I suppose. Some all-hot half-shots heading for the hot spot, snapping his fingers, clapping his hands. That's me. Some flesh plot. Is that right? Am I missing that? Scott, young Scott, are we missing something? Hi, but then. Fingers clapping his hands. All right, I'm going to go with it. All right. Some flesh by mascot was tied into a lover's knot with a whatnot in her hand. That was me and a friend. All right. Now, young Scott with a slingshot finally found a tender spot. We're always looking for life's tender spots. You know, that's where, you know, that's where the love is, you know. Throws his lover in the sand. And some bloodshot forget-me-not whispers daddy's within earshot. I was always very unpopular with my girlfriend's parents. Save the buckshot, I'll turn up the band, but I could not be defeated, you see. Then we got the chorus. I was blinded by the light. That kind of says it all. You know, that's what I was looking for. Cut loose like a deuce, another runner in the night. This is an interesting line. Because this song is my only number one song. I had never had another number one song except this one, and it wasn't done by me. It was done by Manfred Mann, which I appreciate. But they changed this line. My line says, cut loose like a deuce, and theirs said, cut loose like a douche. I have a feeling that that is why the song skyrocketed to number one. But it's one of those, you know, that word, you know, and then Deuce was like Little Deuce Coupe, as in two-seater hot rod. Deuce, of course, is a feminine hygienic procedure. So they're different. And, what can I say? You know, the public spoke and they were right, you know. So, all right, let me carry on. Brimstone, baritone, anticyclone, rolling stone, preacher from the east. Says dethroned the dictaphone, hit it in his funny bones. Gotta be funny. Everything was funny. It's where they expect at least. New moon chaperone, standing in the corner all alone, watching the young girls dance. I guess that was the YMCA when they had the guy sitting in the corner with the flashlight, and if you moved in for a quick grind, they'd hit you with the spotlight. Some fresh zone moonstone was messing with his frozen zone. That was if you were in the stands. The YMCA had a little basketball court in the stands. In the far corner of the stands, there was always something slightly shady going on, you know. To remind him of the feeling of romance, very necessary. Blinded by the light, there comes a chorus. Some silicone sister with her managers, Mr. Possibly the first reference to female breast enhancement in popular music. So I was ahead of my game on that. Said, I'll turn you on, Sonny, to something strong if you play that song with the funky break, which is my business. A go-kart Mozart, checking out the weather chart, see if it was safe to go outside. A little early Pearly came by in her curly whirly and asked me if I needed a ride. That's self-explanatory. Some hazard from Harvard was skunked on beer. Well, that was sort of the day. This was 1972, which was just still the 60s in New Jersey, and it was kind of this whole campus radical thing, and so that found its way in. Scotland Yard was trying hard. The FBI sent some dude with a calling card. The undercover agent said, do what you like, but don't do it here. Jumped up, turned around, spit in the air, fell on the ground. Asked him which was the way back home. Said, take a right at the light, keep going straight until night. And then, boys, you're on your own, which I was. Is that all clear? By now, the rhyming dictionary is in flames. It's getting, it's hot in my hand. I'm just burning up. Zanzibar shooting star was riding a sidecar, humming a lunar tune. Avatar said, blow the bar. Once again, campus radicals first removed the cookie jar. Don't blow up the money. We're going to teach those boys to laugh too soon. Some kidnapped handicap was complaining that he caught the glap. A little road experience, unfortunately, from some mousetrap he bought last night. I unsnapped the skull cap between his ears. I saw the gap and figured he'd be all right. Don't overthink the whole thing. Which I didn't do on this. Don't overthink the whole thing. So, really, the best line, the line that makes the whole song. Mama always told me not to look into the sights of the sun, but Mama, that's where the fun is. And that was where I wanted to go. I wanted to get blinded by the light. I wanted to do things I hadn't done and see things I hadn't seen. I was 23 years old. I wanted to create my own ridiculous language. And so it was really a young musician's tale, kind of a litany of adventures, and it was rather on the autobiographical side. Wasn't a hit, though. Maybe I should have changed that word. So.
Oh, there was a little drummer, and he loved the one-eyed cook, and he loved her, oh, he loved her, though she had a cockeyed look, with the one eye on the pot and the t'other up the chimney with the bow, wow, wow. When this couple went a courtin' for to walk along the shore, says the drummer to the cookie, you're the gal that I adore.
With the one eye on the pot and the t'other up the chimney with the bow, wow, wow.
When this couple went a courtin' for to walk along the pier, says the cookie to the drummer, and I love you too, my dear.
With the one eye on the pot and the t'other up the chimney with the bow, wow, wow. Bow, la, la, bow, wow, wow.
Says the drummer to the cookie, ain't the weather fine today? Says the cookie to the drummer, is that all you got to say?
With her one eye on the pot and the t'other up the chimney, with the bow, wow, wow, la 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 diddy, bow, wow, wow.
Says the drummer to the cookie, will I buy the wedding ring? Says the cookie, now you're talking, that would be the very thing. With her one eye on the pot and the t'other up the chimney, with the bow, wow, wow, la 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 diddy, bow, wow, wow. Says the drummer to the cookie, will you name the wedding day? Says the cookie,
we'll be married in the merry month of May.
With her one eye on the pot and the other up the chimney, with the wow, 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 ba-la-la-da-wa-diddy-bow, wow, wow.
When they went to church to say, I will, the drummer got a knock. For her one eye killed the parson, and the other stopped the clock.
With her one eye on the pot and the other on the chimney, with the bow, wow, wow, bow, la, 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 diddy, bow, wow, wow.
Tracked all the postmen down, and they found all they needed.
in a penthouse suite of the tallest building. The boss was asleep when he heard such a clatter. Sprang from his bed just to see what was the matter. Looked down on the street and that scene filled his eyes. But you know he wasn't even surprised. Blades to plow it all under. Someone asked why, with a sigh he explained that the fools was up doing it again. Meanwhile, back on the street, this clown in a gown and a hat with tattoos on his shoulder comes over and whispers, "It's gonna be alright." Shoot me and sacrifice later that night. We said no, said oh, and then wandered on, chanting some strange sound of language and waving his wand in the sky. Most unusual individual confused me, you know, but Sam and Attila, they're skinned their fill of action and danger. They burned every manger in town.
Hey, good evening, my friends, and welcome once again to the Bit Slap. And as we all know, once upon a time, anything is possible, or was possible. unless we didn't live to tell about it. Most of these people did live to tell about it in some form or another. Got stories for you tonight. Sit back, crack one open, whatever you got, smoke them if you got them, and prepare. Well, you're already halfway there, so let's just tell you what you heard so you already know. We heard Green Jello up top, the story of the three little pigs. Ronnie Lane after that, Evolution, kind of an old concept song. People have done it a lot of different ways, etc. This one can be found on Pete Townshend's solo album, Who Came First, oddly enough. After that, Andy Griffith, story of Swan Lake. The Princess of the Gingerland was the Glitter House. Yes, there was a Glitter House. I have this record somewhere in the vast catacombs of Addlewood. Blinded by the Light. I think that was was that MTV or something? Bruce Springsteen explaining what Blinded by the Light was all about. That's certainly a story. The drummer and the cook was Leonard Warren. Leonard Warren was one of the leading baritones of his day. This was in 1948. Operatic baritones. There wasn't much of a market for others, as Thurl Ravenscroft. But Leonard died on stage. Just was standing on stage, ready to sing his line, and just keeled over. I assure you, it was no fun. That was Leonard Warren from 1948, the drummer and the cook. And then Ballad of the Night, The Clocks All Quit, and The Government Failed. Story of the Trump Years, and that was as told by Tony O'Kay, presciently, I might add, from about 79 or so, something like that. All right, so, like I said, smoke them if you got them. We got them coming up for you. Just relax. None of these are true, and they are certainly all will end. That's what the story is about.
A time in the year 2000, there lived on the faraway planet Venus a little boy called Jack. He had been given a brand new space scooter for his birthday, and what is more, it had a built-in seat for his dog Dunker, his best friend. Dunker was just an ordinary space dog. That is to say, he had the usual circular body with the usual sugary coat and looked just like a donut, which is probably why he was called Dunker. "Remember now, Jacker," said his mother very seriously, "when you scoot up in the sky, don't go too far, don't go too high. Remember, little boys are not allowed to play beyond the first white cloud."
"Oh, I'll remember,"
said Jacker. But in his heart, he was dreaming of flying through space to Earth to see if it was made of golden cheese, like the grown-up said. Well, that night, Dunker was so excited, he wrinkled all up like a mince pie, and his sugary coat sparkled like icing. So just before dawn, they crept out of bed, out of the house to the space scooter shed. With a twitch of the switch, they were up and away. Jacker was so happy, he made up a song.
"Shooting about on his scooter in space, feeling the stardust blowing in your face. Oh, it's the most exciting thing a boy can do. Shoo, 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 shooting about in space."
And Dunker was so happy, he unwrinkled and made up a song too. Which was a pity. And on went Jacker and Dunker. Suddenly, a hairy-tailed comet came herring through the sky, madly sounding his space horn. And seeing Jacker's space scooter, he skidded to a standstill.
"Whoo! Is that as fast as you can go? I have never seen anything quite so slow."
"All right, all right, if you think you're so bright. You see that nebula just on your right? We'll race you around it and we'll see who's slow. Get ready!"
And the comet cried,
"Go!"
It was a very close race, and right at the end, they tore neck and neck round the final bend. Then Dunker leapt forward as they cleared the last bunker, and the space scooter won by just half a Dunker. And the hairy-tailed comet, who was amazed, presented Dunker with a space horn for first prize. And gave Jacker a second prize, a star gun, for shooting off shooting stars.
you,
said Jacka, and said Dunka.
Oh, not at all,
said the hairy-tailed comet. And on went Jacka and Dunka, and on through the starlit seas, on towards the golden cheese. And then they passed a wise old star, who said,
Jacka, what are you doing so far? So far from home, and after you vowed never to play beyond the first white cloud.
Please, sir. Oh, please, sir. We're off to Earth for the golden cheese of fabulous worth.
Go home. Go home,
said the wisest of stars.
Aren't you aware that you're very near Mars? You're headed for danger. You'll never get by. For Mars is the home of the saucers that fly.
But Jacka just laughed and said,
Fiddle-dee-dee, we're not afraid, not Dunker and me.
And on they went. Till all at once, the engine gave a series of horrible grunts. Then spluttered and coughed, and popped and popped. Then silence. And Jacka cried,
Dunker, the engine has stopped.
Through space they dropped.
Oh, there's Mars,
cried Jacka.
Why didn't we listen to that wisest of stars?
And the air was filled with a strange low humming.
We're sunk. Look, Dunker, the saucers are coming.
And nearer and nearer, on came the flying saucers. But all this time, Dunker had been thinking away, his forehead all wrinkled like corrugated pastry. And suddenly, with a triumphant, he straightened up, puffed up his circular body, and blew out a couple of tremendous blasts on the space horn.
Of course, that's it,
cried Jacka. And picking up the star gun, he started shooting off stars just as fast as he could. But still the saucers came on, nearer and nearer. And then, in the far distance, Jacka heard an answering space horn blast. And with it, saw an answering cluster of shooting stars. And then, with a mighty swish and a cry of,
Bow down, Jacka!
The hairy-tailed comet tore past them and on into the flying saucers. Ah, that was a great and heroic fight. Those saucers were scattered left and right. Soon there wasn't a saucer left in the sky, and Jacka and Dunker had cheered themselves dry. And then back came the hairy-tailed comet, looking very satisfied with himself.
Oh, thank you,
said Jacka, and said Dunker.
Oh, not at all,
said the hairy-tailed comet. And he put Jacka and Dunker with their space scooter on his back, and singing merrily, they all returned to Venus. Well, they hadn't got the golden cheese, but there is always tomorrow, with tomorrow's adventures to come. And after all, they did have a space horn, and they did have a star gun. And who wants cheese anyway?
Excuse me, Professor Krun, your spaceship is waiting.
Oh, is it? I'll be right with you. Well, goodbye, kiddies. Goodbye.
This is probably the strangest story you've ever heard. It's about two little men who live out in space.
That's us, Yudny Krun!
Now, that's Omicron. He's from the planet Venus. And his name is Nudnikron. He's from Jupiter.
And no one can understand the way they talk over there.
And the Sputnik.
We call them satellites.
Yes, well, a Sputnik is a satellite. Now, the Sputnik is from still another planet, one we call Earth. One day, not so long ago, when no one was looking, Omicron and Nudnikron landed their tiny rocket ship on our planet Earth. They'd been sent here from space on an important secret mission.
The first thing we have to do is find out where the Sputnik is. You see, Nudnikron, we know on Venus that these Earthlings are going to shoot this thing into the sky almost to space. If they do that, it will stay there and spin round and round their planet just as their moon does. All right, all right. Looky, looky, my pot. Oh, yes, here comes a Gertie.
Now, this should be funny, since Omicron is only the size of a soda pop bottle, and the Nudnicron is shaped like a small orange egg.
Stop where you are, Earthling!
Oh, dear. The grass is talking to me.
No.
Why, no. It's not the grass at all. It's a little orange egg.
Earthling, where is the Sputnik?
Sputnik, Smutnik. Oh, I better get myself some new glasses. Oh.
Come back here! Oh, Lobo, there we go. Oh. You stepped on Nudnikron!
Oh. Well, the Nudnikron was not seriously hurt, so they continued to search the Earth for the Sputnik. After looking high and low for days, they'd almost given up. Then, as they were flying low over cold, snowy mountains on the other side of our world...
Nudnikron! Nudnikron, look down there! There you go! Aye, aye, aye! That's a rocket! It's about to be shot into space! Down we go!
And down they went! Omicron and the Nudnikron tiptoed into the laboratory where the scientists were getting ready the last piece to go into the rocket.
Come on, let's hide inside this round metal ball here.
Sniff to gilly doll.
We can watch them work through this little window and they won't see us.
Oh, now, Igor. The Sputnik is ready.
Good, boss.
Close the door and we will put it into the rocket.
Aww. All righty, boss.
Nudnikron, we're locked in. This is the Sputnik.
Very good, Tonky Mark.
And before they knew what had happened, they were hoisted into the air, dropped in the nose of the rocket, and... on their way into outer space. Now, of course, going into outer space was nothing new to Omicron and Nudnikron, but being locked tight inside a Sputnik was...
Mona Frasne, Omicron! Nervigar!
Now, don't worry, Nudnikron. I'll get this door open in a little while, and we can jump. Our space parachutes will get us back to Earth all right.
Lobophilio, yellow, yellow.
Oh, the only thing I worry about is a wreck with one of our spaceships. So look, you go near that window over there and shout like a horn.
Beep, beep.
Yes, that's the way, and we'll warn any ships nearby, okay?
Beep, beep.
Yes, start now.
Beep, beep. Beep, beep. Beep, beep.
And
beep,
back beep. On Earth, as the beep, anxious beep. Scientists listen to the Sputnik on the radio... what did they hear?
By Igor, it's sending cold.
Yeah.
But you and I know better now. It wasn't cold at all. It was...
Omicron and
Nudnikron.
I was moving up Interstate 5 just a-hammering down. So I keyed up just to see who was hanging around. I said, breaker, breaker, anybody talking tonight? Any old ratchet jaw would be all right. And there was a couple of pops and clicks and a bunch of static. And then I heard this voice that I couldn't rightly put a handle on. Going,
hey, baby, what's happening, man? Tonight, man. You know, like I just borrowed this van, you dig? And my man said I could, like, talk to people on this here CB machine. Anybody picking up on what I'm putting down, man?
Well, I knew right then I had a weirdo on the line. But I figured the worst I could do was pass some time. and maybe I could get a little info on the slab. So I opened up the mic and settled back in my cab. I said, "Hey there, four-wheeler, you got the Arizona Flash. What's your 20? I got a heavy hammer and I'm looking for smoke. You seen any? How about it?"
"Hey, man, wow, like I'm not into hammers, man, but smoke? Yeah, I got smoke, man. Like I got so much smoke in this van, I can't hardly see outside. Can you dig it?
Since I couldn't get nobody else on the CB line, I decided to try this character one more time. So I punched the mic and said, "Good buddy, let me explain. What's your handle? I mean, what's your name? This here's the Arizona Flash on the side. You got a copy? Come on."
All right, you're just too cool, Arizona. Really, man. Too much, man. My name? Well, my friends call me Cloudy, because there's always a cloud of smoke around me, you know?
I said, 10-4, Cloudy, I got you loud and clear. But we got us a lack of communication here. I'm in a screaming 18-wheeler with a load of sticks. I need your 20, so check a marker and give me a fix. And right away, I knew I shouldn't have said that.
Heavy, heavy, heavy. I can dig it, man. You want a fix? Now you're coming through with some good vibrations. We gonna get on down together. Stay cool, brother. I'm coming. I'll find you. Over and far out.
Well, I backed on out and cut old Cloudy loose. And I was thinking that all the monkeys wasn't in the zoos. When a bright red van doing 90 went streaking past. And 10 miles later, a taxi had him in the grass. So I eased her down to double nickels, and as I rolled by the flashing lights, I swear there was a cloud of smoke coming out of that red van, but I knew it wasn't on fire. Then I turned my CB on, and I said, "Howdy." And with a big old smile, I said, "Break 19 there, Cloudy. I sure did appreciate your company on the air. And by the way, thanks for locating that bear. 10-4.
My way, send you to what's in the morning. Say what it was that started him down the long, piney trail to freakhood. Maybe it was when his cousin Kathleen got run over by a bulldozer. Or maybe it was the 6 o'clock news, I don't know. But all of a sudden he let his hair grow long, long, Lord, long. And he wore love beads around his neck and he started making weird things down in shop class. Lord, 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 Jimmy Joe, the hippie-billy boy. His teachers didn't mind so much the love beads or when he wore body paint to the prom. But, buddy, when he came to the county track meet and wore nothing but a purple petrified paper snout for an athletic supporter, boy, he got snuffed out of school. He didn't mind. Most of the time, he stayed out in the woods and wrote poetry. Last summer, he harvested 17 bales of hemp alongside the railroad tracks, and he stopped going to Christian Youth Fellowship. And he even tried to get my daughter, Carol Ann, to go out in the woods to meditate with him. Lord, 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 Jimmy Joe, the hippie billy boy. Well, he saw something he called a vision of the Grail on a muskrat run near his home here in Kabul. And believe in magic. There's a joke all over town about how they ought to put up a chain-link fence around the graveyard. Folks didn't know what they were saying. He wore an Osage Indian headband, and he wouldn't go out for football, even though he'd been a star left halfback in the Tri-State Junior High School Midget Football League. People'd say, Jimmy Joe, why don't you just go on off to San Francisco? And Jimmy'd smile and he'd say, well, I love the Ozarks and I love the limestone caves and the ridges and the purple mists. And I love the veils and veils of fennel. Lord, 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 Jimmy Joe, the hippie billy boy. Well, he was out by the Big Blue River on Saturday night late, meditating and writing poetry. And he saw far below a pair of car lights on the highway. Then they went wobbly, and he heard a crash, and he saw the car go over the side of the Big Blue River. And Jimmy ran down to the riverbank, but all he could see was gurgles and bubbles rising where the car had gone under the water. So he ripped off his clothes, and he stood there naked in the moonlight with his Osage headband glistening. And he did a forward 1.5 somersault with a half twist and went down into the cold, murky murk of the Big Blue River. And he had to go real deep, but somehow he found the car, and he got the car door open, and he pulled out the people inside, old Nadine Hefner and Danny Whistler. And he got them up on the riverbank, and then he began to worry that maybe there was somebody else down in the car trapped. So he went back down into the abysmal, dismal depths of the Big Blue River, and he never came up. 15 minutes later, the state police went down to get him, and they found Jimmy Joe with his long brown hair wrapped around the rearview mirror. Oh, the whole town came out to Jimmy's funeral. And Reverend Allen read some of Jimmy's poetry. And Lord, 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 they weep just as loud for a hippie billy boy as they weep for anybody else. And as they carried the plain brown bronze casket from the graveyard, the country choir sang the lordly hymn.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a friend we have in Jesus, everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit
Lord, Lord, Jimmy Joe, the hippie billy boy.
Now Miss Nancy Ann ran a boarding house with a faded sign that read, single rooms for single girls, no men allowed, it said. Now, rumor had it that if a gentleman was willing to pay a fee, he could always go down to Nancy Ann's for some feminine company. Now one night in June in the fitted room, I was chalking up with a friend. He was set to break when through the door old Leo James ran in. There's a fire that just broke out, he yelled, and it's down in Nancy Ann's. So we dropped our cue sticks on the floor, and down the street we ran. Though the flames were hot and the smoke was thick, not a single life was lost, and the reason for the blaze was never found. But it long will be remembered in our local history as the fire that nearly scandalized the town. The night Miss Nancy Ann's hotel, the single girl turned down. When we got to the place, the front was ablaze, and so was the second floor. So we crossed the track, went around to the back, and stopped at the alley door. We was catching our breath when that door flew open and knocked poor Leo flat. And out through the smoke ran Mayor Wills, wearing nothing but a black silk hat. And right behind him with his shirt tail afire came our local chief of police. Then the banker Jones with the red-headed girl he had always said was his niece. Then I spied Miss Nancy Ann herself helping someone out of the fire, her arm around the red bald head of old Judge McIntyre. A deacon, a dentist, a deputy sheriff, and one state congressman, a county physician, the city mortician, out through the flames they ran. A grand parade of girls in gowns and hat-clad gentlemen, out through the heat of smoke that reeked of French perfume and gin. Well, the flames were hot and the smoke was thick, not a single life was lost, and the reason for the blaze was never found. But it long will be remembered in our local history as the fire that nearly scandalized the town. The night Miss Nancy Ann's hotel, the single girl burned down.
The night Miss Nancy Ann's hotel, the single girl burned down.
Everybody was out of that girl's hotel by the time the roof caved in, and we were heading back to the billiard hall when Leo turned to my friend. He said, I believe that's the funniest show that I've ever seen in town. The so-called elite caught out in the street with their pompous purity down. Though the flames were hot and the smoke was thick, not a single life was lost, and the reason for the blaze was never found. But it long will be remembered in our local history as the fire that nearly scandalized the town. The night Miss Nancy Ann's hotel, the same world comes down.
Country bands and cheating songs.
Texas. I was hooked on honky-tonks till I got hooked on her. Well, I took her out a few more times till we went all the way together. She said she'd like to drink and dance and love with me forever. And I began to see I'd have a hard time winning her love, 'cause she began to love the kind of life I'd had enough of. Well, one thing led to another, and pretty soon we were going steady. And I was wanting to settle down, but she just wasn't ready. That's when I realized she had that honky-tonkin' fever. But I was deep in love by then, and I just couldn't leave her. She got hooked on honky-tonks and smoky places, not the kind of life that I prefer. Songs and lonely smiling faces. She got hooked on honky-tonks, and I got hooked on her. Now she's still hooked on honky-tonks and smoky places. Not the kind of life that I prefer. She's still hooked on honky-tonks, and I'm still hooked on her.
She went down last October in a pouring, driving rain. The skipper, he'd been drinking, and the mate, he felt no pain. Too close to Three Mile Rock, and she was dealt her mortal blow. And the Mary Ellen Carter settled low. There was just us five aboard her when she finally was awash. We'd worked like hell to save her, all heedless of the cost. And the groan she gave as she went down, it caused us to proclaim that the Mary Ellen Carter would rise again. Well, the owners wrote her off, not a nickel would they spend. She gave 20 years of service, boys, that met her sorry end. But insurance paid the loss to us, so let her rest below. Then they laughed at us and said we had to go. But we talked of her all winter, some days around the clock. She's worth a quarter million afloat and at the dock. And with every jar that hit the bar, we swore we would remain and make the Mary Ellen Carter rise again. Rise again, rise again, that her name not be lost to the knowledge of men. All those who loved her best and were with her till the end will make the Mary Ellen Carter rise again. All spring now we've been with her on a barge lent by a friend. Three dives a day in a hard hat suit, and twice I've had the bends. Thank God it's only 60 feet and the currents here are slow, or I'd never have the strength to go below. But we patched her rents, stopped her men's dog hatch and porthole down. Put cables to her fore and aft and girded her around. Tomorrow noon we hit the air and then take up the strain and make the Mary Ellen Carter rise again. Rise again, rise again, that her name not be lost to the knowledge of men. Oh,
your best. And we're with her till the end. We'll make the merry other cars arise again. Couldn't leave her there, you see, to crumble into scale. She'd saved our lives so many times, living through the gale. And the laughing drunken rats who left her to a sorry grave, they won't be laughing in another day. And you, to whom adversity has dealt the final blow, with smiling bastards lying to you everywhere you go, turn to and put out all your strength of arm and heart and brain, and like the merry Ellen Carter, rise again, rise again, rise again. Though your heart it be broken and life about to end, no matter what you've lost, be it a home, a love, a friend, like the merry Ellen Carter, rise again, rise again, rise again. Though your heart it be broken or life about to end, no matter what you've lost, be it a home, a love, a friend, like the merry Ellen Carter, rise again.
Scary, huh? Well, I got a couple more coming up that are kind of scary, not for the faint of heart. But I think you can handle it. Anyway, what our story time has ended, pretty much. There's, like I said, two more, and there are like 13 minutes between the two of them, so you're not done yet, so sit down. This one, we started out with a couple of stupid flying saucer-type songs. We heard from, that was Jaka and the Flying Saucers. Did you recognize that as Peter Sellers? Give yourself a gold star. After that, someone deservedly anonymous, the story of Omicron and Nindicron and the Sputnik, the Sputnik. A guy named Rod Hart after that, cowboy poet or something, I'm not sure. I think he was a truck driver. And that was the story of Arizona Flash and the Cowboy from 1977. Officer Ray from the Storytelling Man himself, that was Hoyt Axton. Jimmy Joe. The Hippie Billy Boy was Ed Sanders, former Fugger, and God, a big, big, busy author. He's written lots of books, apparently. And then we heard from Hank Thompson and the Brazos Valley Boys, The Night Miss Nancy Ann's Hotel for Single Girls Burned Down, revealing the underbelly of society. All right, Hooked on Honky Tonks from the underbelly of society was Rod Hart, back for more. And then Stan Rogers. Kind of a, I figured I'd leave you on a positive type note. That was called Rise Again, the Mary Ellen Carter. Okay, I used to work with a woman named Mary Ellen Carter, and she was an idiot. I don't know. Anyway, all right, be that as it may, this is it for tonight. I got a couple more, like I said, long ones. So one's long, one's not. All right, enjoy, and we'll be back next week with some sort of crapola, because that's what we do here. We are Crapola Incorporated. All right, later.
nothing to eat and nothing to drink. Nothing for a man to do but sit around and think. Nothing for a man to do but sit around and think. Well, I'm thinking and I'm thinking till there's nothing I ain't funk. Breathing in the stink till finally I stunk. It was at that time I swear I lost my mind. Started making plans to kill my own kind. Started making plans to kill my own kind. Come little daughter, I said to the youngest. Your coat on, we'll have some fun. We'll go out to the mountains, the one to explore. The face it lit up, I'm standing by the door. The face it lit up, I'm standing by the door. Come, little daughter. To the caverns, we'll go out tonight, we'll go to the caves. Kiss your mother goodnight and remember that God saves. Kiss your mother goodnight and remember that God saves. I led her to a hole, a deep black well. I said, make a wish, make sure and not tell. And close your eyes, dear, and count to seven. You know your papa loves you, good children go to heaven. You know your papa loves you, good children go to heaven. I gave her a push, I gave her a shove. I pushed with all my might, I pushed with all my love. I threw my child into a bottomless pit. Screaming as she fell, but I never heard her hit. She was screaming as she fell, but I never heard her hit.
Two mariners, our ship's sole survivors in this belly of a whale. Its ribs are ceiling beams, its guts are carpeting. I guess we have some time to kill. remember me. I was a child of three, and you a lad of 18. But I remember you, and I will relate to you how our histories interweave. At the time you were a rake and a rat about, spending all your money on boys and hounds. You had a charming air, all cheap and debonair. My widowed mother found so sweet, and so she took you in. She'd still warm with him, now filled with filth and foul disease. As time wore on, you proved a dead-ridden, drunken mess, leaving my mother a poor consumptive wretch. Oh, oh, and then you disappeared, your gambling arrears, the only thing you left behind. And then the magistrate reclaimed our small estate, and my poor mother lost her mind. Then one day in spring, my dear sweet mother died. But before she did, I took her hand as she dying cried. Oh, oh. It took me 15 years to swallow all my tears among the urchins in the street, until a priory took pity and hired me to keep their vestry nice and neat. But never once in the employ of these holy men did I ever once turn my mind from the thought of revenge. Oh. One night I overheard the prior exchanging words with a penitent whaler from the sea. The captain of his ship, who matched you toe-to-tip, was known for one cruelty. The following day, I shipped to sea with the privateer, and in the whistle of the wind, I could almost hear it. Oh, oh.
Find him, find him, tie him to a pole and break his fingers. Wicked
thank you.
And then that fateful night, we had you in our sight. After 20 months at sea, with your starboard flank abeam, I was getting my muskets clean when came this rumbling from beneath. The ocean shook, the sky went black, and the captain quailed. And before us grew the angry joys of a giant whale. Don't know how I survived. The crew all was chewed alive. I must have slipped between his teeth. But oh, what providence, what divine intelligence, that you should survive as well as me. It gives my heart great joy to see your eyes.